Stephen Weidel from the Associated Press, who does a wonderful job covering all things National Hockey League here, joins us this morning. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Phase three, phase two, testing positive here, there, and everywhere. It's hard to imagine the NHL trying to keep on track here and trying to stay on schedule for a July 10th training camp date at this point. I mean, how do you see things?
I see training camp being moved back to July 13th, and it's been speculated a lot in the last few days, but I think that's where we're headed. And just do the math. I mean, a guy like Carey Price just traveled back from the United States to Canada yesterday or 2 days ago. You need to have that mandatory 14-day quarantine for guys. I just don't see a way, if you don't have even a vote among players until the end of this week, if you don't have a full agreement, which this could involve a CBA extension too. So I think this is going to be a full member vote of 700-plus NHLPA members, that it's going to take time to make sure guys can get to camp. I don't know if they're going to push back the entire schedule or if it's just going to be a camp that's shortened by a day or two. Not a great situation for players who are worried about getting hurt after this much time off, but I just can't. I'm with you guys. I don't think training camp can start July 10th.
Stephen, I know you're tapped into what goes on with the NHLPA and the NHL. In terms of a vote for what is going to happen, not only the return to play, but possibly the extended CBA, do you hear if all 31 teams are voting on this, or is it simply the 24 teams taking part in the postseason?
From what I understand, it's going to be all the teams. Now, I don't know if there's going to be two separate votes here, one on a return to play among those 24 teams, and one on the CBA among all 31. But you're not going to let, in theory, players who are not returning make a decision on what city those teams who are playing are going to play in and those kind of protocols. And you're also not going to take the voices out of those players from those seven teams on a CBA. When you're talking issues like escrow and salary deferrals and things that are being discussed in a CBA extension, maybe not Olympics yet, but some of those other big issues players care about, you're going to want the guys on all these teams to have a say. Whether this turns out to be kind of the executive committee vote like it was on the playoff format, where it was every team gets a vote and kind of make that decision in a past, I guess, 29-2, whether it's going to be that or the full majority of the votes, I think you're going to see the entire body of NHL players get a say on what their future is like if there's going to be labor peace until potentially we're thinking 2025 or 2026.
Yeah, talking on NHL with Stephen Weidel from the Associated Press here on Sportsnet 650. And now we're starting to hear more voices. We talked to Evander Kane yesterday and with the San Jose Sharks. And obviously Evander and the Sharks aren't going back to part of this return to play as they're on the outside looking in. But, you know, as a veteran player, he kind of said, you know, never a great time to miss the playoffs, but if there was ever a year to miss, this is kind of the year. And more voices are starting to come out, you know, especially in your neck of the woods where we saw in Major League Baseball yesterday, you know, veteran slugger Ryan Zimmerman announced that he's not going to play with Major League Baseball this season. Ian Desmond with a very powerful statement last night from the Colorado Rockies saying, explaining why he is not going to return. Mike Leake, veteran pitcher, he's not going back. Joe Ross as well. A lot of veteran guys who mostly in family positions of the four that have kind of come public. You know, DeAndre Jordan from the NBA announcing that he's not going to come back, as he just announced that he's tested positive for COVID-19. I wonder if and when we'll hear more NHL players speak up and speak out and put their foot down and say, I'm not going back. Obviously, we heard Roman Polak, but do you anticipate this, or is the escrow concern just going to be something that's going to win out here?
I think there's more concern about the escrow from players than there is about returning. And not to say there's no concern about the possibility of returning, but I think guys look at their wallets and their kind of financial future of the big picture of the next several years and really want to have an understanding of what that means for them and how much money they're giving up and how much money they're splitting with owners and that sort of thing. From a return to play standpoint, I think you're going to see it from a handful of guys. And it's totally understood, obviously, when you have a Max Domi who is diabetic, any of those players who have health risks. I think there's going to be a lower percentage of hockey players who choose to skip out just for the mentality of the sport. And just because rather than the NBA, which is going to be a full 3 months to from start to finish kind of quarantine. Baseball is going to be off and on, not in a bubble. Hockey's going to be able to try to get this done in about 68, 69 days from the return of games. And even if you count the exhibition games, that's going to be 75 days, which it's a long period of time. It's longer than an Olympics or a world championship. But I think guys understand, if you think you have a chance to win something, what the value is, not only to this season, but knowing what the escrow numbers could be like in the future if hockey doesn't come back. I still think the majority of players are going to vote, and I think vote in favor of coming back, vote in favor of a CBA extension. But I do think we'll see a handful of defectors, maybe a half a dozen or a dozen guys, overall say they're not comfortable coming back.
Well, I know there's nothing more exciting than talking escrow, but just for clarification purposes, I think, what are they looking at, 20% escrow for the following season, which is obviously a key reason why the players want to go back now. And for the layman at home who was making $50,000 a year and all of a sudden you're whacked 20% plus your usual income taxes and everything else, this is a healthy chunk of money coming off players' paychecks.
It is, and also talking about a 10% salary deferral, not a rollback, but money that the owners will pay them down the line, just as a way, and I think this is a way that the players and the league are trying to figure out how to split the burden of the pandemic and what it's caused to get rid of 189 regular season games, to have to play the playoffs without fans. And when you're sharing in the profits and you're sharing in the burden, and you know you've got a TV contract coming up, you hope there's enough people seeing this from 10,000 feet view of knowing, okay, here's the big picture of the league right now, that everyone's going to take a hit right now, hoping that 2-3 years from now, with a new US TV contract, when fans are back in the stands, that it's going to mean exponential growth for everyone.
And then you continue, yeah, but then there's this awkward slippery slope right now where it's like, okay, guys, we want to cram in this vote here to kind of keep the CBA going and labor peace going, and we're going to try to come up with health and safety concerns in the middle of a global pandemic. This feels like the weirdest, most awkward, trying to rush, like, hey, let's just try to get these papers signed, everybody. Just come on, sign on the dotted line here because we're up against this. And then, you've got signing bonuses that are supposed to be paid out tomorrow that may or may not be. That's the one tricky one, that you're trying to extend a collective bargaining agreement, trying to predict what the future is going to look like for the short term, but trying to cram it all in one feels really unfair and an awkward position for the players to be in. Does it not feel that way, Stephen?
It feels aggressive, and maybe if you could do this all over again, you try to do the CBA potentially in October when all this is over after this season, and you have a little time between this season and next season. I can understand wanting to do it because it puts everything in one big kind of picture for the season. But you're right, the timing is the problem here. And there's been so many issues they've had to talk about, whether it's the escrow thing, whether it's the testing, which seems to be agreed to as testing daily, and what the protocols are going to be inside this bubble, what the cities are going to be. There's so many things to get to that the time seems to be running out. And maybe there's some regret on setting that July 10th timeline, on thinking of an August 1st. If you don't have necessarily those kind of artificial deadlines in there, maybe it makes this easier, or maybe, as we've seen with so many of these lockouts and agreements along the years, that these are creatures of deadlines, that if you say we've got to get it done by a certain time, they'll get it done because of that. And as a writer on deadline, I know what that feels like.
Well, obviously professional sports, just like the general economy, has taken a hit due to this pandemic, but I know we've discussed it on this show, but Stephen, is there a pot of gold possibly lying at the end of a rainbow in terms of legalized gambling? Is this going to be the savior for professional sports as they try to come out of this thing?
It's going to help. And I think the television contracts are the biggest pot of gold out there, of just these TV rights. And if you have fans who are reluctant to get back to arenas and stadiums, that there's television there and advertising dollars there. Gambling is something that it's been fascinating to watch Gary Bettman and all these other leagues go from opposing this, fighting to the tooth and nail against it, to now embracing it. So they have to see some money there. If you believe in the idea that these guys aren't going to be corrupted. There's not going to be the mafia in locker rooms getting guys to throw games and those sort of things. And there's an integrity to a sport still. Then, yes, I think everybody wins with legalized gambling. If everything is fair and clean about those sports and you don't have the match-fixing scandals that we've had in tennis and other places, that, yeah, I think the NHL wants to call out some of that money, whether it's deals with MGM and William Hill that they've done. But you're going to have prop bets on everything. You're going to have now the puck and player tracking in by next season. You're going to be able to place bets on all of that. And I think there's a combination there of the cool data we're going to be able to see how fast Nathan MacKinnon is skating and how fast Alex Ovechkin is shooting the puck, but also be able to bet on all those things at the same time.
More importantly, through all of this, Stephen, how's your video gaming abilities through all this?
Great. Thanks to you.
Thank you for the tire pump on social media, by the way. Do you play online much then, or what's going on?
Very, very little in terms of, amazingly, this has been a busier time than usual, but yeah. Have not gotten to online yet, though I've got friends in other cities who are dying to actually play online with this thing.
And it's funny what's clicked in a pandemic and what hasn't. Like certain businesses that have done well, and some that, like streaming services, they've probably been winning during a global pandemic. Video games, definitely winning during a pandemic. Building supply companies, doing well. Shout out to Dunbar Lumber. Cirque du Soleil, not so much. But but gaming is definitely, it's funny how the game has certainly spiked in a lot of ways for a lot of eyes. So thank you.
Yeah, and Tiger King is one as well.
Yeah. Again, streaming services are winning. Hey, listen, where can people find you on social media if they want to stick with you and tracking? Because you do a great job of following the National Hockey League and keeping people up to date all across North America.
Just on Twitter at SWYNO, SWHYNO.
Awesome. Stephen, nice to catch up with you again. Be safe out there, okay?
Thanks, gentlemen. You too.